Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Deuteronomy chapter number 30 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I want to bring you a little thought out of here today with the help of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. I appreciate you being here this morning. Amen. Good to see some visitors this morning. We appreciate you being part of our service with us today. And thank you for being here. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 today. And I want to pick up reading in verse number 11. And read a few verses. Actually read the rest of the chapter to you. And we'll see what we can learn out of here this morning. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 verse number 11 says this: "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before your life, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It's time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. Moses brings the children of Israel right here, and I'll say a whole lot more about it in just a minute. And Moses simply says to them, it's time for you to choose whether you're going to serve God or whether you're not going to serve God. It's time to make a choice. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, so much for being God. I thank you, Lord, for being somebody that I can come to in my time of despair and distress and discouragement. And God, I'm glad that you're always there for us. You've never forsaken us, God. Lord, I pray especially right now, God, for Remington, Lord, as he's on his way to Brenner's. God, please, Lord, do the work that only you can do. God, we still believe that you're the great physician, God, and that you can touch him, and we pray that you will. God, I pray, Lord, especially for Brother Ramsey as he tries to preach this morning, God, that you would help him and touch him. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in the service here. God, you know the need of it that's here this morning, God, and I pray, Lord, that there'd be some eternal decisions made this morning, God, that people's just going to serve you and live for you and walk with you and talk with you. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When we come to the closing of the book of Deuteronomy, we'll find that in these last few chapters, Moses is practically giving his farewell speech. If time would permit us, we could rewind to the book of Exodus and we would be introduced to the man by the name of Moses. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard the story of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea one night. That was Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt's land and across the Red Sea that night. God used Moses as a great leader to help deliver the children of Israel from the land of Egypt and from a land of bondage. Whenever they crossed the Red Sea, God, in years prior to that, had promised Abraham the Canaan's land, or the land of Canaan. He had not only promised it to Abraham, but he had promised it to the children of Israel. Now they have begun their journey towards Canaan's land. God had delivered them out of slavery. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had delivered them from that. And now they start their journey to Canaan's land. Now, some people, and let me give me a minute or two to explain this, but some people use Canaan or Canaan's land in the Old Testament as a picture of heaven. But I personally disagree with that. I do not think that Canaan's land is a picture of heaven. Here's why. Number one, there's death in Canaan's land. In heaven, there's no more death, praise God. Number two, there's fighting in Canaan's land. Thank God when we get to heaven, there'll be no more fighting in heaven. There's several things that we can look at that's not in heaven that was there in Canaan's land. However, I do believe that Canaan's land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. They was able to possess Canaan's land while on this side of eternity. We cannot possess heaven while on this side of eternity. We'll have to die to ever see heaven. So here they are. They are headed for Canaan's land. Moses is leading them that way. And when they get on the outskirts of it, you that knows the story will remember that Moses sends those 12 spies in to look over Canaan's land and to look at it. Two of them comes out, Joshua and Caleb. And man, I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. They come out and they say, we're well able to overtake the land. Man, let's go. Let's go get it. Let's go after it. Let's go. God's promised it to us. Let's go get it. But there was 10 that was independent Baptists, and they said, there's no way. Y'all will get that in a little while, because that's usually the way the Baptists say, there's no way we can do that. We've been talking seriously now and meeting with a contractor about doubling the size of our fellowship, Paul, and I'm sure there's some going, the preacher's crazy, we don't need to do that. There's no, man, I want to go get it. Brother Mark was up here the other day and he said, I've got an excavator, I got a dump truck. And I started to say, just bring one on, man. I'm going to tear something up. That's the way Joshua and Caleb was. Let's go get it. But 10 more said, no, let's don't. So that 10 influenced all of Israel and they didn't go into Canaan's land. So you know what they did for 40 years? 40 years. 40 years is a long time. Some of y'all, the majority of y'all's not even been born 40 years. Some of y'all been born 40 times too, but anyway, 40 years, 40 years, they wander around in the wilderness. There was something so much better that they could have had. They could have been enjoying the milk and the honey. They could have been enjoying the ultimate blessings of God. But what did they do? They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. You see, they made a choice. Their choice was not to enjoy the ultimate blessings of God, but to be content in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Number one, I would say this. Now, you don't have to answer it out loud. But number one, I would say this. Are you saved? If you're saved, let me ask you another question. Are you living to the fullest of your ability serving God? I think all of us that's saved would have to answer the same way, and it would be no. Every one of us, I'm sure, there is more that we could do for God. You know what? I try my best to read my Bible. I try my best to study. I try my best to preach when God gives me open doors. I'm thankful for that. Tomorrow night, I'll be in Greensboro preaching. I'm looking forward to that. Monday or Friday, we get to travel to Cleveland and be with Brother Dakota and Miss Kelsey. And man, I'm excited about that. I try to be a witness. But you know what? Every one of us could do more. We could do more. Are we living in Canaan's land? Are we living in the fullest blessings that God wants us to have? Here's where a lot of people live their Christian life. They get saved and they never go any further. Now I want you to understand something. Salvation, I don't have any of this written down, but let me hit it real quick. Salvation is not progressional. What I simply mean by that, the night that I realized I was lost and on the road to hell, I prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and save me. You know what happened that moment? I got saved. I didn't go through 42 different things. I didn't have to go get baptized. I didn't have to get sprinkled. I didn't have to have oil poured on my head. That very moment I got saved. I got as much salvation as I'll ever get that very moment. Sanctification is progressional. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Growing in the Lord. Brother Jonathan Bassett and I was talking this week, and Brother Jonathan said, man, he said, I've got this lady that's got saved out of the outreach ministry of our church to the needy people in the community. And he said, she's wanting to know more about the Lord. He said, what do I need to do? And I was telling him about some mentoring programs that he could do and some discipleship things he could do. You know, let me tell you, they need to know more about the Lord. And once we get saved, we're saved. But to draw closer to God, it is a progressional thing. Somebody that's been saved 60 years should be more established in the Word of God than somebody that's been saved 60 days. But most people, man, they get saved. They know they're not going to hell, but they never live their fullest life for Christ. They never really enjoy all that God has for them. Leslie and I was talking this week, and the ministry, I'm not complaining. I love what I do. This week is, I'm not going to lie, the past 2 weeks has been a very difficult 2 weeks. Man, it seems that I've lived at the hospice house, Moody's, and the hospital the past 2 weeks, man. I was so thankful that we had two babies born this week. Man, it just encouraged me, you know. But there is times in the ministry that it gets stressful. To be in the ministry, there is sacrifice that goes into that. One thing that, and I know some people says it jokingly, but some people says it a lot of times meaningly. They'll say, well, I wish all I had to do is preach 3 times a week. And I always say, yeah, me too. And usually they say something like that while you're visiting their loved one. I mean, if I just preach 3 times a week, why am I here? You know, I really want to look at them. Everybody okay this morning? I really, Corey, I want to look at them and go, this is not 11 to 12 or 6 to 7 or 7 to 8. That's Sunday, I only work 11 to 12 and 6 to 7. And Wednesdays, I only work 7 to 8. So why am I here? It takes sacrifice. There, I can't tell you the times that I've stood up from the supper table with my family and walked out to help somebody in our church, to be there for them. It takes sacrifice. And Leslie and I was talking about that this week. But can I say something to you? The sacrifice is worth it. To live in the blessings of God, to live in the joys of God, to experience everything that God has for us. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that where you're living? If not, you need to make a choice this morning. You need to make a choice today. Let me show you something about this choice. The children of Israel here comes down and Moses says, Moses is dying. Moses is fixing to go off the scene. Joshua's fixing to step on the scene. You know that if you know your Bible. But here's what Moses says about this choice. Number one, it's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. Note with me what your Bible said in verse number 11. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Look in verse number 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. He goes, look at verse number 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it or do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Number one, can I say something? It's a personal choice this morning. Nobody can make you serve God. Nobody can make you be faithful to the house of God. Nobody can make you. Is everybody still okay this morning? Y'all, a lot of y'all wishing we was back at last Sunday morning. I can already tell. But nobody can make you give your life to Christ. Nobody can make you get saved. If you're sitting here and you're not saved this morning, nobody can make you get saved. It is a personal choice between you and the Lord what you're going to do. It's personal this morning. What did Joshua say? Joshua said it this way, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. There is a choice that's going to be made today. There's a choice that's going to be made today. You're either going to choose to serve God wholeheartedly or you're going to choose not to. You're either going to choose to get saved or you're going to choose not to. It is a personal choice. There is some choices that I can make for my children, but there's some that I can't. It comes to a time in life where we have to make the decision. Some people would say this, I'm just not good at making decisions. And I would say, amen, to some people. Now, you might as well laugh right there because you know it's the truth. Leslie, whenever it gets time to get another vehicle, I'll say, what do you want? Nothing. What I've got's fine. Well, I think we need to trade. Well, I'm fine with what we've got. And so we'll be riding down the road and we'll start our undercover tactics. Boy, that's a good-looking vehicle. That's ugly. I wouldn't drive that. X. You with me? Did you get that Madeline X, that one off the list? Boy, I like that right there. That's a good-looking minivan. Now, I like that. I don't understand why. Check. Look at that Yukon Denali. X. I ain't driving. It's too big. Ain't no bigger than your minivan. It's too big. I don't like X, X, X. And when it comes time, here's what I do. I pick up the phone. I call Keith Easter and I say, hey buddy, here's what I'm looking for. He says, all right, here's what I've got. And I say, all right, tell Gilbert to get it ready. I'll be over there in a minute to pick it up. And I go over to Scenic and I pick it up. He hands me a sheet to drive it a couple days and I bring it home and Leslie walks around and looks at it and drives it up the road and comes back and says, I don't like it, I like what I've got. And I go back to the Ford place and I say, fix everything up and I'll sign the papers on it and we'll take it. Look, this is the truth. If it was up to Leslie, she would still be driving her 1987 Camaro that was her first car. I mean, we'd have three seats packed in the back of it when we was, there'd be one sitting in the hump. She don't like to make choices. But can I just say something? Don't you women get mad at me right here. But God said you was the weaker vessel. I got two amens. One was Robert and one was Brother Tim. And Tanya was afraid that I was going to point her out. So she said, that's right. It's true. There's times that some people are just not good at making decisions. But I want you to understand me this morning. This ain't a decision I can make for you. I can't make the decision. I can make the decision what vehicle she drives, but I can't make the decision whether or not she gives her whole heart to God.
Brother Josh, I may can make some decisions for you and help you some along the way, but when it comes to this thing of serving God, you've got to make that decision. Moses said, it's not in heaven, it's not over the sea, it's right here, it's with you right now. It's a personal decision. You've got to make it. I want to say this to you. Number one, it's a personal decision. Number two, I would say this to you. It's not only a personal choice, it's a practical choice. Look what he said in verse number 15. See, I've set before you, or I set before thee this day, life and good, and death and evil. Now what he says, here's what he says. If you choose to serve God, there's a great life that goes with that. If you choose to serve evil, there's death that goes with that. Now I understand death is coming to all of us, but here's simply what he's saying to us. Serving God is the greatest decision that you'll ever make. He makes it very practical for us. He makes it very practical. He said, see, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Life and good and death and evil. It's a practical choice, but I want to show you one more. It's a present choice. Look what he said in verse number 19. He said this, and I've really preached all morning to get right here, and I'm going to say a couple things and I'm going to be done. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thou and thy seed may live. Can I say this? It's a personal, it's a practical, but it's a very present choice. In other words, you're fixing to make a choice. You're fixing to make a choice. There's no doubt there's people sitting in this room today that you have in the back of your mind, you have struggled with this thought of really giving God everything. I mean, going all in, man. Going all in. One thing that I have a problem with, and Miss Leslie will probably take a lap right here, is that when I start to do something, Brother Tim, I go all in, man. I just can't help it. I can't help it. I remember a couple years ago, Bradley Washburn, Ghost Brother David Edwards Church, a good friend of mine and chief of North Coast Fire Department in McDowell County, he called me and he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, man, not doing much. Said, sitting here studying a little bit. He said, let's go duck hunting. And I said, duck hunting? And he said, yeah. He said, let's go duck hunting. He said, I've been duck hunting. I'm turning my own calls. I want you to come go duck hunting with me. So you know what I decided? I was going to go duck hunting. Well, you got to have a certain gun to go duck hunting. I mean, there was no way. Thank you, Brother Tim. I appreciate you. There was no way that I was taking a couple of my older guns out. That was my grandparents, and they was not going. So I called up my gun buddy, Brother Rodney, and I said, I need a gun. He said, what kind of gun you need? I said, I need a duck gun, the best one made. He said, well, you need some kind of Benelli. I don't remember what all it was. And I said, the best one. I don't want it jamming. I wanted the best they had. He said, all right, give me a day or two. In about 5 minutes, he called me back. He said, I think I found one. I said, I think I'll take it. So there I had that. Well, you know what? If you're going to duck hunt, you can't just wear a raincoat. You got to wear a Drake raincoat. And I mean, if you're going to get a raincoat, you might as well get the other layer inside of it and the other one inside of that. And you got to get that other part that you wear underneath your bibs, your waders, so it don't mess the front of it up. So before I knew it, I was a duck hunting champion. Drake wearing. Only thing I couldn't find real quick was a pair of waders. And I can't remember, I think Lloyd found me the waders. And I borrowed them from, I think it was Scott, he wouldn't, that I borrowed them from. Son, I walked out that day, Drake hat on. Are you hearing me? Drake hat on, Drake waiter pants on, fleece line, somebody say amen. I had it all. Benelli, high stem Benelli shotgun. Look, black underneath my eyes. Si didn't have nothing on me, Jack. We went out there. We got set up, throwed the decoys out, and I thought, boy, this is fixing to happen. We kicked back there. I got hungry. I was like, where's food at, man? I like to eat. I don't know why people don't take food hunting. Well, where's food? We ain't got no food. Well, I thought this was like a guided trip or something, man. Where the food at? We sat there and they said, it's about time the ducks are going to come in. And about that time, these two rednecks in a John boat come right up to where our decoys was at and was wondering why they didn't fly. I really wanted to sink their John boat. Somebody say amen right there. I knew I'd get one right there. You said, preacher, he said, man, I went all, I don't have none of it. Well, I do, I still got the Drake coat because I might just go duck hunting this year. I've been thinking about it again. Brother Rodney, be on the lookout for a gun. Leslie, plug your ears. I go all out. Man, whenever I started fishing back years ago, one reason I don't have a boat today is because I can't, Brother Brent, I can't just buy a boat and a Zebco 33. Man, I go all out. I want the best graphs on. I go all out on anything. There's some more of y'all in here, it's the same way. I mean, just say amen, you're the same way. Why can't we be that way with the Lord? Joshua, or Moses says, look, right here's Canaan. Right here's milk. Come start playing softly. Right here's honey. Right here's everything that you'll ever need in your life. It'll be taken care of. Yes, there'll be some struggles. There'll be some hardships. But right here it is, the greatest life that you'll ever live. Right here it is. And the children of Israel chose for 40 years to walk away from that. It's a present choice right now that you're going to make. What is that that God wants you to do? What is that that God has for your life? You know, I think about Brother Robert this morning. For his life right now, God's in, don't laugh, God's got him killing bugs. But you know what he does while he kills bugs? He tells people about the Lord and lives a Christian life. Brother Josh is doing maintenance at a nursing home. And you know what he's doing while he's there? He's just loving the Lord, telling people about him. But Jeff's the milkman. And you know what? That's what God's got for his life. But you know what he's doing while he's being the milkman? He's serving Jesus. He's telling others about the Lord. It's a choice that we've got to make. It does not mean that you're going to be a preacher. It does not mean that you're going to be a preacher's wife. It does not mean that you're going to have to go to Durkistan on a missions trip. That's not what it means. It just simply means that we go, Lord, here am I. Lord, if your will for my life is being faithful to the house of God and just standing behind the preacher, then that's what I'm going to do. But Lord, if your will for my life is to go to Durkistan on a mission trip, then that's what I'll do. It's giving him everything. You got a choice to make. You got a choice to make. What's your choice going to be? I read this the other day. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. 398 passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem like a radar malfunction or even thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby for at least 45 minutes prior to the collision. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reporters, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first. By the time they come to their senses, it was just too late. 398 died that day because of that, because of their pride. They just wouldn't submit. They made a choice. What did he say? He said this. He said, I want you to choose this for your life and for your children, is what he's saying. You see, the choice that I make today to serve God is going to affect my youngins. The choice that I make today to be faithful to the house of God and to pray with my family at night is going to affect my children. It's going to affect my grandchildren. Why do you need to choose what's right? Not just because of you, but because of the generation coming behind you. Because of the generation coming behind you. Why do you need to go to church? Well, number one, because the Bible said to. But number two, because there's a generation that's coming behind you. There's a lot of parents in this room. It's our choice today. What are we going to do with it? I'll leave you with this. Joshua said it. Choose you this day. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. God's got something for your life. Don't walk around and settle for second best when you can be living in milk and honey in Canaan's land, enjoying the blessings of God.